Tim.
We are broadcasting.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order today, and we will start by taking the roll.
Senator Findley.
Senator Findley present by video.
Senator Riley.
Present by video.
Senator Wagner.
Wagner is present by video.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Boquist is present on audio.
Madam Chair Burdick.
Present by video. We have one item on our agenda today, and that's Senate Bill 743. So we will start off by opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 743. Welcome, Day.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Day Beck, Legislative Revenue Office. Senate Bill 743, there are two changes in the bill for purposes of the state school fund distributions. In particular, this bill addresses a school district's ADMW calculation when the school district is a sponsor of a virtual public charter school. So let me explain the current law first so that we can compare what changes are proposed here. So in terms of ADMW calculation, that's weighted average daily membership. Currently we calculate virtual public charter schools ADMW and the rest of the school districts ADMW separately. But in the end, we combine them. So that becomes current year's ADMW. We're going to compare that to the previous year's ADMW, similarly calculated. The greater of the two becomes the district's extended ADMW. So that's current law. Now, there are a couple of changes that are proposed here. One, the first case is average daily membership is declining in brick and mortar schools. That's non-charter portion of the district. And the other one is when virtual schools ADM is declining. So there are two separate cases. So first, when brick and mortar schools ADM is declining, and by the way, virtual schools ADM can go up and down in this case. So what we do in this proposal is calculate virtual public charter schools ADMW and the rest of school districts ADMW separately. Well, that's not a change, but what's changed here is we're going to compare virtual public charter schools ADMW with the last year's, and we do the similar thing for the rest of the school district. So we're going to establish virtual public charter schools extended ADMW, and we're going to establish the rest of school districts ADMW. Extended ADMW. We combine them, that becomes the district's extended ADMW. This is different from current law. And now, the next change is when ADM of virtual schools declining. Again, in this case, brick and mortar schools ADM can go up and down, it doesn't matter. But virtual schools ADM is declining. So what we do in particular for the next school year, 21-22 and 22-23 school years, we do this according to the proposal. First, non-virtual charter portion of the school district's extended ADMW is the greater of the current year's ADMW and the previous year's ADMW. So again, you calculate ADMW for current school year and compare that with the last year's four non-charter person of the district get the extended ADNW by taking the greater of the two. The second change in this change is ADNW for virtual public charter schools, equals the current year's ADNW plus an additional amount that equals 10% of the difference between the current year's ADNW and the previous school's ADNW. So this second change overall is about a case where Vulture Public Charter School's ADM is declining, and that's what is expected in the next school year. Because of pandemic, we had a sharp increase in Vulture Charter School's enrollment this year. And it is widely expected that there will be a drop-off of virtual charter schools enrollment. By how much, we don't know, but that's to be anticipated. Now, this proposal actually is different from current law this way. Current law, you calculate extended ADMW for let me stop there, actually, because it gets complicated. So then we can actually listen to what the people who actually proposed this change. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Two people from the Oregon Department of Education, Mike Wiltfong and Adam Krein, who are signed up to answer questions if we have them. And so they are on deck if we have questions from the Oregon Department of Education perspective. But we'll start out by calling our first witness, Lori Wimmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For your record, Madam Chair and committee members, my name is Lori Wimmer and I represent 41,000 members of the Oregon Education Association. It's my honor to support Senate Bill 743 today, which is one of two different ways we looked at solving a technical problem that education stakeholders have worked on to resolve over the past 8 months. We've long advocated for protection of and minimal tinkering with the state school fund distribution formula. We know that too often this mathematical tool, whose aim is to fairly distribute resources, is much misunderstood. Occasionally, however, it is also in need of fine-tuning, and we are currently experiencing one of those times. The formula was created in 1991 to fairly distribute state funding to Oregon school districts and ESDs following the passage of property tax limitation ballot measure five, which shifted the majority of the responsibility for school funding from the local level to the state. The goal of the distribution formula is to approximate the cost value of those differences among school districts over which those districts have no control. And I mean things like student demographics, family poverty, and other characteristics. And one of the phenomena the formula attempts to address is the situation in which a district does lose students from one year to the next, such as, let's say, in a small town with a major employer moving away, which would then cause families to move as well and causes precipitous drop in student enrollment. The formula softens the blow of the enrollment-linked funding losses that district would otherwise experience by allowing the district to take the larger of the current or previous year's student count. And that way it smooths the losses more gradually. And that's the extended ADMW that you've just heard described. Now, when the funding formula was developed, there was no such thing as virtual charter schools. That was 1991. Virtual charter schools came in about 2005. The extended wait was designed for the brick and mortar public education situation. In recent years, however, as these programs proliferated, the extended wait did become an issue, as thousands of students could move from one virtual program to another with just a few clicks of a keyboard. In 2015, that problem of double funding first arose when the state's largest virtual program changed its sponsor. For 1 year, without a legislative change, the state would have been on the hook to pay double for nearly 4,000 students, both in their new district as well as the district that had formerly hosted the charter school. And so that problem was addressed for charter terminations and virtual school closures in 2015. But now we have a new problem, as you've heard, that requires a remedy as well. The pandemic led to a significant flow of students to temporary enrollments outside of their resident districts. We estimate about 7,700 of them. But we do believe that next year, when all schools are back for in-person learning, most students will return to their neighborhood schools. And so that the state doesn't have to double pay both the virtual school no longer serving those 7,700 kids, as well as their resident school district for a whole year, education advocates developed this solution to give the virtual school some piece of the free year of extension money, 10%, but not 100%. This problem is a temporary problem, so we believe the solution should also be. This portion of the bill will cover only the next biennium, as you've heard. There is a secondary piece, and that is a permanent fix in the bill, because sponsoring school districts of these virtual programs are often small and in declining enrollment themselves. Their virtual charters typically grow enrollment. So the original intent of the extended wait should apply to the brick and mortar side of those school districts, but because they host virtual programs typically growing, their enrollment losses are masked by the virtual schools within them. So this bill corrects that problem by calculating separately the school district brick and mortar enrollment from the virtual school enrollment within it, and it awards the extension tool to either side if in decline. So these two technical formula fixes make Oregon's K-12 distribution formula fairer and more economically efficient, eliminating the double payment cloud that we believe is amassing on the horizon and restoring the intent of the extension tool for all deserving districts. The bill won its approval from your colleagues in Senate Education, and now we ask for your support to move it to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Senator Friendly has a question.
Yes.
You're on mute, Senator Friendly.
I thought I hit the button. I'm sorry. No Thank problem. You, Madam Chair. Lori, I'm sorry I was unable to connect with you this morning. I have one quick question. Your comment, when all schools are back for in-person learning in the coming years, most students will return to their neighborhood schools. Do you have anything to base that on other than you hope? I mean, I'm just curious about that comment because I've heard a lot of comments about people liking where they are. So I'd be just curious about that statement.
Madam Chair and Senator Finley, there's no way, of course, to know for certain. We have heard a lot of anecdotal information about families not having the capacity, once they're all back at work as well, to be at home with their kids, particularly at the elementary level. You don't want to leave kids home alone all day with a laptop. And so it is an appropriate solution for some kids, but not for all.
Okay. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, we will move on to our next witness, Morgan Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appear to be having some trouble with my video. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Okay, then I'll just proceed to save everyone the pain. So good afternoon, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. My name is Morgan Allen. I'm here on behalf of the Coalition of Oregon School Administrators, COSA. We urge your support for Senate Bill 743. And I've submitted written testimony where I've tried to lay out some examples step-by-step of the current law versus what this would look like for school districts on the ground if Senate Bill 743 passed. So I would encourage you to take a look at that, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. And I know we have the great folks from ODE here who can answer questions as well. But I wanted to just provide a little bit more background, and I won't read my testimony, but just add a couple of things. So our members have been navigating the impacts of both COVID-19 and wildfires on school enrollment. And as other people have said, we saw a dip in enrollment across the state. We saw an increase in virtual charter school enrollment. We saw students displaced because of wildfires. And there's actually another bill, House Bill 2630, that's being heard in your counterpart committee in the House Revenue Committee this week that will try to do what we're doing here today to stabilize districts that had students displaced from wildfires. But As we mentioned, we anticipate that many students will return to their neighborhood schools as schools reopen. And Senator Finley, COSA convened a group of about 20 school district superintendents from across the state, including school district superintendents for those that sponsor virtual charter schools. So for example, Mark Witte from Baker School District, they have Baker Web Academy in your district. You'll find he was part of that group, and you'll find a letter from Dr. Daniel Hold, the principal of Baker Web Academy, in the testimony supporting Senate Bill 743 as a reasonable fix to deal with this situation. But again, what we're trying to do, as Day and Lori mentioned, is something that no one ever could have predicted, which is we could see significant movement and one-time boosts in funding to virtual charter schools because of our school fund equalization, because of extended ADMW. And candidly, that money would come out of the funding for all other school districts. So without passage of this bill, it's almost certain that millions of dollars in one-time payments will go to virtual charter schools for students that are no longer enrolled. Again, the extended ADMW never anticipated virtual charter schools. This will impact the funding of every school district in the state and could mean tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and even in some of the extreme scenarios that we've seen modeled by ODE, millions of dollars in reduced funding next school year to individual school districts. So I want to make one thing very clear, because I know charter schools and virtual charter schools can be a very political conversation in the Capitol. This is an issue that is completely separate from the virtual charter school enrollment cap. So this is separate from that issue. No one has testified in opposition to this. Again, you'll see some letters in support from some of the virtual charter school folks. We convened a group at COSA of superintendents that sponsor virtual charter schools. They felt like this is reasonable. So I just want to make it very clear that this is a completely separate issue from the virtual charter school enrollment cap, which I know is a hot topic this session. And again, what we are trying to do is for the small rural school districts that sponsor virtual charters and have declining enrollment, we want to make sure that those brick and mortar schools continue to get funding. So for example, again, if Baker decreases funding because of the charter school's growth, Baker School District students never get the benefit of extended ADMW. So we wanna fix that. And then the other thing that wasn't mentioned was Dave mentioned, the change to extended ADMW for virtual charter schools. We're only proposing that that's temporary in the next biennium. We're not proposing a permanent change. Again, we think this is a temporary issue. But one thing we did include was that the virtual charter schools could get 10% of the funding they would otherwise qualify for, because we know they have made some expenditures buying computers, or maybe they have some contracts, and we want to make sure that they get reimbursed for those. So overall, we feel like this is an important compromise, and there was no opposition testified, and I haven't seen any opposition testifying today. So we hope that you would approve this. As a long road, still has to go through the House Ed and House Revenue Committee. So I'd be also happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Okay, Morgan, I'm not seeing anything in the written testimony from the Oregon School Boards Association. Have they weighed in on this?
I can double check with them. I believe they are in support, Senator Burdick, but I can confirm that with them today.
Okay, it's possible. I didn't look at the Education Committee record, so it's possible they testified there. Okay, are there questions from the committee? Okay, I see no questions, and I get from your testimony that speed is probably of the essence, since it has to go through two more committees on the House side. Is that correct, Morgan?
That is correct, Senator. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We didn't have any questions for the Oregon Department of Education, so I will close the public hearing. And I think I want to thank the sponsors for their work getting consensus on this bill. and we will try to move ahead with the work session soon. So we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 743. And Chris, do we have any more business to take care of?
No, Madam Chair, that was your agenda for today.
Okay, thank you, committee, and we are adjourned.
Senator Burdick, I'm sorry, too late to get this on the record. I just got a text from OSBA. They are supportive. I'll just send a follow-up email to Chris.
Hey, Morgan. Yeah, this is Chris. I think people are signing off already. Okay. So.
Yeah, I'll send a follow-up.